Well, we greet you in the worthy and precious name of our risen Lord and Savior this morning, who now resides at the right hand of the throne of the Father, interceding for all of us. That should be a joy and a blessing to the believer this morning. When we think of Jesus Christ interceding, when we see our needs, we see who we are, and we think of Jesus Christ interceding at the right hand of the throne of the Father for those needs, is a beautiful thing to me this morning. And I was just encouraged with the thoughts that were shared here this morning, especially that story. It was very, very thought-provoking. There's many of those stories that you wish you could hear them. Some of those stories have never been told or never got found out. But those stories are tremendous. And they encourage us on our way. On the way that we're on, the way that we find ourselves in, the way of walking after Jesus Christ. And so, we bring greetings from our congregation over at Tyosa there. We see some of you from time to time, and obviously you don't see us a whole lot over here as much anymore, but We've been blessed, and through the ordination has been a blessing for us, and it was also very much of an encouragement to us as a body there to walk through that ordination, and so of which we were thankful. And so here this morning, by the grace of God, I'd like to share a message that I shared there at our home congregation. And it's actually a law of God. It's one of God's laws, and I believe as I ponder this over the past couple weeks, this law of God is something that when this law is not obeyed, then it seems like it's in my life, I find that it's a downhill spiral. Brother Ray made mention this morning of Romans chapter 1, verse 21. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so we see in here that for starters, what does God want of his children? What does he deserve of his children or of mankind? God deserves glory, as it says here in verse 21. And they didn't give him glory, neither were they thankful. And that's what my message this morning is going to be centered around, is simply a simple word of thankfulness. It seems like a real elementary subject. But yet some of those elementary things can sometimes be so deep when we study into those things and we ponder. What does it say, what it says here, that and it throws the thankfulness in with giving God the glory. And since they give him the glory, their imaginations went astray and their foolish hearts were darkened because they didn't give him glory and neither were thankful. The message title I have this morning simply is Thankfulness, a Law of God. And, you know, in light of this message was born on my heart as I pondered, as I watched America, if you may, get closer to Thanksgiving and then this Black Friday thing where America just seems to go crazy and people lose their minds, and there's almost, it seems like, in order to get these deals. And there's nothing wrong with making, there's nothing wrong with getting something on sale. It's not what I'm saying. But if you watch what happens, and it seems to be accelerating over the years of this Thanksgiving weekend, and in all reality, I think most of you know the origin of Thanksgiving is simply some people got together and they, after their voyage across the ocean, I don't remember his name, but specifically one person was mentioned, and they got together and they blessed the Lord for the bounties of the earth. And for the things that God had blessed them with throughout that year, they went through a hard winter, and more people died. And by spring, and then through that summer, there was a fairly bountiful harvest soon after they sailed over from possibly England. I'm not sure. And so they set a day aside, and they blessed the Lord. It took time to bless the Lord, and I've wondered how many homes over this Thanksgiving weekend do you think, how many homes actually, when they sat around the noon meal, how many homes actually took the time to bow their head and to bless the Lord for family time, for the bounties of the earth, and so forth? Or how many families did it just because Grandpa was there and he's the only one that's doing that anymore? He's simply the one who calls that. And how many families didn't do it because the old generation that used to do it has passed on and the new generation is no longer embracing that way or whatever? And so, and I just pondered that as we sat around the Thanksgiving meal there with my wife's side of the family. Was a blessing. We had a good time. We talked at the dinner table there about what we're thankful for and so forth, and I was encouraged with that. And so thankfulness for the believer, I believe, is simply and it takes work, but it becomes or should become a lifestyle. Something that we do, it's a walking out in our daily life. It's not only when we say we're thankful, but God can see the heart, whether or not we're really thankful. And I don't know how you find it, but sometimes in my prayer life, I find, or family devotions, I find that we thank the Lord for this and for that, and sometimes I find that it's just something that's coming off the surface. It's not really a deep something. It's not really coming out of the depths of my heart. And so, thankfulness, I believe, in the believer should be a lifestyle for the world of the ungodly to see, for them to look in and see there's something different about them. They always have such a thankful spirit about them. You know, thankfulness or thanksgiving is so much more than the last Thursday in November. There needs to be a continual, not only the last Thursday in November, but a continual walking that out in our life and exercising a thankful spirit, or cultivating a thankful spirit, should be something that comes forth. It spews out of our life. It flows from our life. One of the first things I want to mention about thankfulness is that we are not born with a thankful spirit. That is not born within us. That is something that needs to be nurtured, cultivated, worked on, exercised. However, I mean, we see that in the place where we're at as a young family. We find that thankfulness is something that needs to be worked on in our children and setting them down and saying, now look, you know, this is why we're going to eat what's on the table tonight. And things like that, you know. Our natural instinct that we're born with is naturally to grumble, is to find fault or pick about the things that we don't like. I find that instinct wanting to well up within me from time to time of grumbling or dissatisfaction. So thankfulness is something that God expects of his children. And you know, we walk these things out by his grace. We're not alone. We don't try to walk these things out on our own strength, because it doesn't work. And I find myself challenged with this very concept or thought of thankfulness. Maybe we'll just have a word of prayer here before we go on. Father in heaven, we do come again in the name of Jesus, of which we are so grateful. The name of Jesus, whereby every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And so we come asking God for grace as we walk through here, Lord, this next hour. Father, we pray that you would come and minister to us as we minister to the hearers, Lord. Minister to my heart, Lord, as I share these things. Help me to share them as we heard about truth, and help me to share in truth, Lord. And so we come, Lord, we know this is your word, and Father, would you just bless your word this morning? Father, would you sanctify the meal here today? And so, Lord, we commit this time, this short time, into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thankfulness is something that must be cultivated throughout our lives. I find it extremely necessary to cultivate that in my life. Especially beginning at a young age. I grew up in a home where I never in my life have I yet heard my father grumble. And to this day, he still compliments my mom he doesn't necessarily say thank you for the meal, but he says, oh, that was just phenomenal. That was extremely good, you know, as if he never had it before, you know. But I remember that. Up through the years, I recall that very clearly, and I err in that myself. But and so there was times when Dad would give us the option. He said, well, you don't have to eat, but what your mother fixed is what we have tonight, or then we'll have another meal in the morning. And so he gave us that option, and so I'm blessed with that today. That I can use some of those things in my own home today. Yeah, he taught us. By cultivating thankfulness in our lives, we not only bless the Lord for the good things that happen to us, but also for those things, as was mentioned in a prayer room by one of the brothers, but also for those things that come to us as a trial. A truly thankful heart will bless the Lord for the trials, you know. And there's many, many a person who says, I just spoke with one lately who mentioned that, well, you know, he thanked the Lord that he that this happened or that happened, but then he couldn't figure out why God allowed this to come into his life or the other thing. And so we talked about thankfulness and how that we're called to thank the Lord for everything, sometimes it's a challenge when I walk through a valley in my life. It's a challenge to thank the Lord with all my heart. It's a challenging thing for me to do, but yet on the same token, when we look around, we can find things to bless the Lord for, to thank Him for, and and as a result of blessing Him for those trials, we find ourselves being encouraged and blessed through those things that we face. And only that can come through the grace of God in our lives, to be grateful when the world is saying something's not right there. He shouldn't be thankful. Whatever happened in his life, and yet he's singing. And so, thankfulness, I believe, sometimes is something that is in my life. I largely don't necessarily spend a whole lot of time on this subject, but in all reality, that is what God wants to hear from His children is gratefulness. And we, in our prayers, we thank the Lord a lot. And here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything, give thanks." So that encompasses the things we wrestle with, and also the good times. In everything, give thanks, for this is whose will? It's God's will. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So there's something in this that I believe we can glean out of learning, and I haven't attained. That's a deep verse. But to give thanks in everything and to understand what he's saying here, that he says, "For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you." And so when we think about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, you know, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. I'm just going to turn there real quick and read those. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," verse 23, "meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So, when we think about the fruits of the Spirit here, and we think about how the fruits of the Spirit are born out of a thankful heart, out of a redeemed heart, when we became redeemed by the grace of God and by His blood, and we become really thankful to God as we see that the burden of sin has been removed from our shoulders, the weight that we were carrying, and when we look at the fruits here, that these fruits, think about love, for instance. Love is born out of my heart when I, first of all, see God for who He is, and I in thanksgiving bless the Lord for His Son Jesus Christ, and therefore the love of Christ is shed abroad in my heart, and through that I can exercise love to those around me. So out of a thankful heart are born some of these fruits. The fruits of joy. True joy. When you see somebody singing and they break forth in song, or maybe you're in your workplace or wherever you work, and you find that all of a sudden this person over here, they break forth and they sing. You know, what motivated that? What made them to all of a sudden give thanks or glory to the Lord? It's because of the joy and the thankfulness in the heart of man that causes us to break forth and to sing to our Creator, because He deserves the glory and the thanks for what He has done. You know, in order to... when we're... just a few here. I'm not going to go through all the fruits of the Spirit, but peace. The peace of God, once again, is born out of gratitude. When we, once again, see God for who He is and for what He did, and the peace of God can rule in our hearts. And thus, the world looks on and they see this person is, for some reason, he's not detoured by the things that are happening in the nation. But yet he seems to have a quiet peace about him. That's because he's giving God glory for what is happening, what has happened and is happening in his life. And so therefore, he has peace in his heart. Long-sufferingness, just one more. I can't suffer long with my brother or my wife or my children when I don't have a thankful heart. When I'm ungrateful and I'm negative about life, I will not suffer long with my whoever. And so thankfulness, so long-sufferingness needs to be born from out of a grateful heart towards God for what He has done. And when, once again, when we see Jesus Christ and what He went through, our hearts swell with gratitude, and we see how He is to this day suffering long with mankind, suffering long with me, and we once again we give Him thanks for what He has done. And you know, long sufferingness, gentleness, all those, we can go through those, but thankfulness is not only something that we say, but that thankfulness is or should be a condition of my heart. It should be a condition of my heart as a believer. That condition of my heart will flow out to those around me, and they're going to be able to see, flow out in gratitude and thanks and praise. Just a short article here written about, I'll just brief a few lines, but the year that is drawing to a close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are constantly enjoyed, that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are of so extraordinary nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensitive to the ever-watching, ever-watchful providence of the Almighty God. And how that a thankful heart is not only a blessing to those around me, but also it helps me view my day that is before me with such a different air than if I'm ungrateful. So thankfulness becomes a condition. And the condition, sometimes we need to be reconditioned. Sometimes I need to be reconditioned. Sometimes we need to be changed from time to time. And so that condition of my heart isn't always grateful. One of the Greek descriptions of this word states it like this: the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. And I thought, you know, that points out what makes it a little clearer what I've been trying to describe. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So the reflection of how thankful I am will come forth. Another Greek description is like this: to be cheerful, be glad, joyful, and rejoicing. So, here in just a few verses out of Psalm 16, I'm just gonna go across a couple different chapters and verses. And as I read these, notice there's just a host of them in Psalms, but notice the thankfulness in David's in his writings. When he penned the words here in Psalms, Psalm 16:11 states that thou wilt shew me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Think about this little shepherd boy out in the wilderness and his gratitude as he expressed his gratefulness to God, and he penned these things. And I know for myself, the psalmist, there seems to be always a place where we can go and we can connect with where David was at to where we're at in our life. So the psalmist David said in Psalms 43, "For thou art the God of my strength." He was giving God the glory because he's seen that God was his strength. He is, "For thou art the God of my strength." Psalms 81:1 says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength." Psalms 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Beautiful praise is born out of a grateful heart. Now, the word grateful and gratitude, you're not going to find in your Bible, but it alludes to virtually the same thing that we're talking here of thankfulness. And another Greek definition of thankfulness would be a grateful language. A grateful language to God. What is the language of my heart when I come before Him and I pray? When I pray about things, when I pray about my struggles, when I pray about life in general, a grateful language to God as an act of worship. So we see that this thankfulness becomes a lifestyle or an act of worship to our Creator as we work, as we deal with customers, as we deal with things in our homes and our churches, to cultivate this in our hearts, because it brings the act of worship is born through thankfulness, and God can see that. One of three points I'd like to make here in light of thankfulness. One of the first ones I mentioned already, but just mention it again. Number one, thankfulness must be cultivated and nurtured. Not only on the last week of November, but also the rest of the year. The nation we live in is largely, it seems like, losing the spirit of thankfulness. And we just ate in a restaurant lately, and I was amazed to see that somebody it was an older couple, but an older couple came in, and when they sat down to eat, they actually bowed their heads and prayed thanked the Lord. And so as I pondered that, I thought, well, why should that be amazing? Why is that being lost when supposedly this nation was founded on God? And so we see that some of these things must be cultivated. Christianity in our lives, reading the Bible, our prayer life, our going to church, Bible studies, these things need to be, they need to be cultivated or we lose them. And so, cultivating thankfulness, we could fill a lot of other things into that, cultivating other things, you know, but the, just one of these is thankfulness. And I'll read just a few verses in Psalms 100 again. Once again, just to, I think there's five verses in Psalms 100, 1 through 5. Exhortation to praise the Lord. And he says here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now hear David's grateful heart as he exhorts us to be thankful and give God the glory that he deserves. Know, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter ye into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be ye thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is God, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Beautiful words. I've just marveled at that short chapter and the exhortation that he gives. And David almost, it seems like he commands us to. He say, give him glory. We sang that song, I believe, was it this morning? Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away your sins. The second thing I'd like to mention here in thankfulness is that a thankful heart results in spontaneous praise. A thankful heart results in spontaneous praise. Now, I'll break the word spontaneous down a little bit. And I thought that's really interesting. I found this through my studies, but spontaneous is simply free will praise. So back to what I was talking earlier about the beauty of seeing a person break forth in song. I didn't tell you that you must sing when you work for me, but he, of his own free will, he chooses to sing. And he's singing, you know, whoever it is singing the songs of Zion. So it's a free will praise as unto God. The word spontaneous applies to that which is done so naturally that it seems to come without prompting or premeditation. So when we, as believers, I think it's in Ephesians here that we are exhorted. No, it's not. But singing and making melody. Psalms and hymns. I can't put it all together. But that, there again, we're exhorted we're exhorted to praise God. And so when I use the word spontaneous, I'm talking about a free will praise. So it comes as believers, it comes naturally. The more we exercise and we cultivate. Now when you cultivate something, when some of you are farmers, some of us are gardeners, when you cultivate something, you end up you take the weeds out. You take the unnecessary things out so that the necessary things can grow. So when we cultivate thankfulness, we remove or root up or rip out whatever the things that are over. You know, sometimes the weeds grow so tall, if you don't pull them right away, they overshadow the good things that you have in the garden. And so we pull those so that the good things can grow. And so we cultivate or exercise a grateful heart. You know, it's when a spontaneous praise, it's when a person breaks forth in song for no apparent reason at all, but for just the need to sing. I think it's beautiful. You know, some of the guys that work for me, they sing a lot, it seems like, and I've often pondered that. It's really a beautiful thing. It's encouraging. And if you ever notice, it brings a singing out of a thankful heart, as in giving glory to God. It brings an atmosphere to the home or to the workplace or to even to yourself. When you sing, it brings a beautiful air about the place when we sing. And so spontaneously singing. Just a few words out of Psalms 105 here. I'm skipping across once again a few of David's words. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face. And I find that when in my heart I'm struggling with something that God has sent my way, and I'm not necessarily grateful for the trial, I find that it becomes a lot harder for me. Versus seeing these things, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. And then I believe it goes on to say there that somewhere it says that let patience, I believe is it in James, but let patience have her perfect work in James chapter 1 there. Let patience have her perfect work. If you were to ask a person who breaks forth in praise to the Lord, let's just say tomorrow you hear somebody you're working with or somebody you know, and he breaks forth and he starts to sing. Ask him why he's singing. What makes you sing? Why are you singing? Are you singing that song? And I know for myself, if somebody was to ask me that, I don't know if I would have an answer other than it's an encouragement to my heart. Point number three that I'd like to make here, thankfulness brightens dark days. Thankfulness definitely brightens dark days. Many good things are missed when I am unthankful or negative about whatever, be it life, be it, you know, when I'm ungrateful. I like to try to paint two pictures here, and the one versus the other. And just think with me, what happens when I have a negative spirit or am ungrateful about the things about you fill in the blanks, you know, about life, about even getting out of bed or whatever. Picture number one here, I'd like to paint in our minds here a little bit when I'm unthankful or negative or ungrateful, whatever you want to call it. We miss the sunrises and the sunsets. We miss those beautiful times, glorious times, when I'm unthankful. We lose sight of our ministry, why God put us here. We lose sight of necessary things in life when my heart's ungrateful. When I don't see, when my heart's ungrateful, I miss the golden moments in my home. The moments when I know I should sit down and ask my son how his day was with his school, but yet I don't because I'm struggling. And I'm not grateful. I'm not grateful enough to see that it's a blessing that I even have him here with me this evening. And so I miss those golden, beautiful moments. Moments. They're gone. It's only but what I said in the last 15, however long I've been talking here, what I've said is now gone. It is now history. I miss those moments, the moments that are so fleeting, and they're gone, forever history, when I'm ungrateful. But picture number two is just a little, is a lot nicer. When I'm grateful, when the new day dawns, and I'm grateful, the sunrises are gorgeous. The sunrises are gorgeous, even though it's a gray morning, when I'm thankful. And when, have you ever stopped and just taken a real close look or a picture of the hoarfrost on a plant in the morning? It is so marvelous. The Creator that we serve is really, really something. And so the sunrises and the sunsets become beautiful things. The new bird that may come to your bird feeder. I'm a bird lover. We have a lot of birds, and I feed my birds as consistently as we try to feed the children. You know, we have a woods close by there, and just this winter we had another bird come to the feeder, and I just bless the Lord. Those things on a dreary November day, those things can be a tremendous blessing to our life when we just notice that little finch in all his beauty that God gave him. If you catch him, he's not going to be pretty anymore. But, you know, just to watch him at the feeder there and the various other ones that come to the feeder, but just to sit down and do as David did. And David said in Psalms 143, he said that he spends, paraphrasing it, he spends time musing on the things of God, or pondering, or chewing them over. He spends time thinking about the things of God. And so, little things. When I'm grateful, little things become beautiful. I totally miss the birds when I'm unthankful. My children become totally different when I'm thankful. They don't. I do. But we see them differently. We see them totally in a different way when I'm grateful. And even the drab, maybe sometimes dark November winter days can become glorious, because they're all part of God's plan when we become grateful. And so those are things that I work on in my life. I've said some negative things about winter and so forth, but to see the beauty in the season, maybe it's not the way we like it because it's not as comfortable out to work outside as it would be in the summer, but to see the beauty in the season, to be out and to notice the glories of the sunrise and to experience it. When there's many sitting inside windows looking out in their wheelchairs and wishing that they could go out and feel the frost on their face. Things to be thankful for. When I'm grateful, the Bible becomes clearer to me. My devotion life changes when I'm grateful. Joy is birthed in a thankful heart. The joy of the Lord. And through joy, a thankful heart, and joy comes to our eyes, and it becomes obvious by our countenance that we're thankful. You know, I've wondered sometimes how the Lord really sees me in light of this subject. I know sometimes I've needed to repent in light of this subject, but unthankfulness tends to lead us on from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And eventually, it's just an endless road of a mad dash like we see in the world today. A mad dash towards what? The next whatever, electronic, the next thing. And so sometimes as we live, and one of the brothers mentioned this morning that as we live in the world, sometimes we become numb. And as a commandment of God that we give Him glory to because He deserves it, because of His Son, it changes the whole picture of where I'm going and why I want to go the way I want to go and choose life and to choose to follow the Scripture. You know, a close examination of the word thankfulness can actually help determine between our wants and our needs. It helps us determine between what I want or what I really need. In Ephesians 5:20 says, "Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So giving thanks always to Him for all things. Once again, that is a challenge in my life to always be of that disposition to where I am giving Him glory when I'm struggling in my heart. But that is in all reality, I believe, the heart of the believer is to give God glory. It's just sometimes it becomes, as we wrestle through the valleys in our life, sometimes it becomes a more of a challenge to give God the glory or to be thankful for various things. I'd like to share a story here. And y'all know this story, but I'm going to share it in order to draw some examples here at the end. It's a story from back in the roaring 20s, in the 1920s. This is a true story. And if I lapse out through this story a little bit, it's fairly extensive. And we don't have time to go across the whole thing. And so I'll just kind of brief across it. And even though you know the story, but the time was the roaring 20s. The place was Oklahoma. John Griffith, it was in his early 20s, newly married and full of optimism. Along with his lovely wife, he had been blessed with a beautiful blue-eyed boy. And with delight and excitement, John was dreaming the American dream. With the shattering of the American economy came the devastation of John's dream. And so broken-hearted John packed up a few possessions and his wife and a little son, Greg, and headed east in an old Model A Ford. They made their way toward Missouri to the edge of the Mississippi River, and there he found a job tending one of the great, great railroad bridges spanning the massive river. It wasn't until 1937 that a new dream began to birth in his heart. His son was now 8 years old, and John had began to catch a vision of new life, a life in which Greg would work shoulder to shoulder with his son, a life of intimate relationship and friendship. The first day of this new life dawned and brought with new hope and fresh purpose. Excitedly, they packed their lunches arm in arm, headed off towards the immense bridge. Before they knew it, noontime had arrived, and John had elevated the bridge and allowed some scheduled ship to pass through. And then by taking his son by the hand, they headed off for lunch. Hand in hand, they inched their way down the narrow catwalk onto the observation deck, 50 feet above the majestic Mississippi River. As they ate, John told his son the vivid details and the stories of the marvelous desolation of the ships below them. Then suddenly in the midst of the tale, in the midst of telling a tale about the time the river had overflowed its banks, he and his son were startled to reality by the shriek of a train whistle. Looking at his watch in disbelief, John saw that it was 1:07. Immediately he remembered that the bridge was still raised and the Memphis Express is just minutes away. Not wanting to alarm his son, he suppressed his panic. In the calmest tone he could muster, he instructed his son to stay put. Children, we have a beautiful lesson of obedience in this. Not only children, but for all of us. But that's not what I'm bringing out. Quickly he leaped to his feet and jumped to the catwalk. As precious seconds flew by, he ran at full tilt to the steer handle leading in the control room. Once he searched the river to make sure there were no ships in sight, as he was trained to do, he looked straight down beneath the ship and saw something so horrifying that his heart froze in his chest. For there below him in the massive gearbox that housed the colossal gears that moved the gigantic bridge was his beloved son. Apparently Greg had tried to follow his dad and fallen off the catwalk. Panic in his mind, he frantically tried to search for options. As soon as the thoughts appeared, he realized the futility. Sure, if I can say that word correctly. The futileness of his plan, but that's not the word. Instantly, he knew that there just wouldn't be enough time. Perspiration began to bead on John's brow, terror written all over every inch of his face. His mind darted here and there, vainly searching for another solution. What would he do? In a state of panic, he agonized, considering the 400 people that were moving closer to the bridge. Soon the train would come roaring out of the trees at a tremendous speed. But this was his son, his only son, his pride, his joy, his mother. He could see the tear-stained face now. In a moment, he knew what he must do. And so he buried his face in his arms and he plunged down the lever. The cries of his son were drowned by the relentless sound of the bridge as it ground slowly into position. Within seconds, the Memphis Express roared out of the trees across the mighty bridge. John Griffin, in his tear-stained face, looked into the windows of the passing train. A businessman was reading his newspaper. Ladies were sipping their tea. A small boy, looking strangely like Greg's son, pushed a long spoon into a dish of ice cream. But no one glanced his way. No one even cast a glance at the giant gearbox that housed the mangled remains of his hopes and his dreams. In anguish, John cried, "What's the matter with you people? Don't you care? I have sacrificed my son. What's wrong with you?" No one answered. No one heard. And just as suddenly as it had happened, it was over. And the train was gone. I'd like to make one more point here from that story. What if that was your son? But what about the Heavenly Father? Are you not grateful? Am I not grateful? And I know we are. What a sacrifice the Father made. And I'm sure those 400 people would have come and thanked John Griffith for sacrificing his son. Sacrificing his son so they could cross the bridge. It must have took more than the grace of God. It must have took more than his own strength, but by the grace of God, to pull that lever and to crush his son. But the Heavenly Father, The Heavenly Father sacrificed a son, his only son, Jesus Christ, to secure a way across that massive gap, the massive gap between this life and eternity. God sent his son, and the bridge was closed. The bridge was closed, or the bridge was open, however I want to say that, so that people, by the blood of Jesus Christ, could pass from this life to the life, to eternal life with Jesus Christ in the afterlife. God sent his son, his only son. What is that? Does that not do something in your heart this morning, or in my heart? I know even after 6 years of conversion in my life, I still am brought to tears many times when I read the beautiful account, beautiful yet astounding account of Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross for our sins. What gratitude should well up within my heart? What spontaneous praise to a God who would do such a thing for a poor mortal, for a man who didn't deserve. What is it that welled up within your heart when you were newly converted, when I was newly converted? That thanksgiving to God, when I knelt beside my bed that night and I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that I was free. I've been delivered from the bounds of sin, from the powers of darkness. What welled up in my heart needs to continue to well up in my heart for the rest of my life. You know, when we first experienced that peace, that we could actually rest assured and to know that our sins were under the blood, the peace, but oh, the thanksgiving to God of having done such a marvelous work for somebody who didn't deserve it. Should this marvelous act of kindness not break the heart of any sinner and cause a believer to burst forth with spontaneous thanksgiving? It's free. Isaiah 55 says this morning that it's free. Salvation is free. It's for all. Isaiah said there in 55:1, he said, come and buy without money. There's no price. No price. No price, but what a price. What a price was paid there for the sins of many. What thankfulness. You know, that the God of heaven, he wouldn't have had to, but yet that was his heart to send his son, a king of all things. It would make more sense maybe to offer up someone else, but the Son of God, a king, to offer him up to such a shameful death. What gratitude, what thankfulness that wells up in our hearts as we think of an eternity that can be secured through Jesus Christ. It can be only if we make that choice. You know, if our hearts haven't swelled with gratitude yet, then what about here where it says in Micah, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. What a God. What a mighty God we serve. But yet it seems like there's so few. Few there be that find it. Yet it seems like there's so few who are willing to stand up and brace their shoulders and stem the tide and to walk with Jesus. Because And so we have to conclude. We conclude here that the Lord, He's our shepherd. Such a gentle shepherd, of which I'm so grateful. When I look at the years I spent in vanity and pride, and I didn't care that my Lord was crucified, and I think of that, and I think of now that God has given me a clean, clear slate and peace, a peace that passes all understanding, that says that it's going to keep our hearts and minds in Christ. So the Lord is our shepherd. David says, I shall not want. What a marvelous place to reside as a believer. What a marvelous place to be, to rest. What gratitude wells up within my heart as I consider the shepherd. It says that the shepherd was smitten and the sheep were scattered. But that took place in order to have what we have today. What gratefulness in my heart as I think of a common lump of clay that has a divine destiny. A common lump of clay with a divine destiny. What gratitude. What thankfulness. I'm growing with you all in this. I haven't attained what I want to attain. I need your help. We need to walk on. We need to stay in Christ. So let's fight on the prize is not in the beginning nor in the middle, but the prize is at the end. May God receive the glory.